This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese for Greg Shanley. No matter how cold it might get, there's no reason to go into home improvement hibernation during the winter. It's important to keep your entire home well insulated in order to keep warm air in and cold air out. And winter may give you a chance to find out if you have insulation gaps. Even observing your roof to see where the snow is located may give you some hints of what needs to be improved. It's Home Improvement Day on Talk of Iowa with Bill McAnally, Director of Industrial Technology at Iowa Central Community College. This hour, we'll talk about how to make your home more energy efficient. And once you've accomplished that, why not take advantage of your comfortable surroundings and set your sights on some wintertime home remodeling? It's a good time to work in your kitchens and bathrooms. Even basement remodeling is a great undertaking for the so-called off-season. Home Improvement Day on Talk of Iowa begins at 5 minutes following news. This is Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese for Greg Shanley, and it's Home Improvement Day on the program, and we welcome back Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge. Bill, I hope you're there.
Yes, I am.
Well, good.
Can you hear me okay?
I can, loud and clear. You know, Bill, I have read that during the long months of winter when exterior home improvement projects are on hold, you can still find plenty to do indoors. Is that really the case? Because I'm not finding much to do.
You want me to make a list for you?
Yeah, why don't you do that?
You know, there is plenty to do on the inside. You know, just talk about making a list, because when it is really cold, we don't get a whole lot of opportunities like we did, and I like to call it an opportunity, when we had all this cold weather, to really be able to see where the inefficiencies are in your house. That, you know, when it's really cold, when you have that big temperature difference between, you know, inside and outside, that's when you can, really see some things happening. Let's just say you go down in the basement, and this will give you something to do. So you can head down the steps, go down the basement when we get another cold snap, and look for areas in your foundation, that, say maybe at the top of the wall where it meets the floor, look for frost. And because when we had the strong winds and the cold air, a lot of homes had frost at the very top of the foundation wall and where the floor sat on top of the wall, and that showed where there was a lot of air leakage, where the house actually sits on top of the foundation. There's a sill plate, a board that attaches to the foundation, and then the house is nailed to it. There's usually a product, a sill seal, that goes underneath that, designed to keep the air from coming in. But, you know, after 10, 15, 20 years, a lot of times it's dried out or things have moved or critters have gotten to it. And so really just kind of go around and see if you see any frost there. Now, you can also do that. Today would be a good day. Is it bright and sunny down there?
No.
Oh, it isn't?
No, not here.
Oh, sorry. Well, we've got the good weather up here. So go down into the basement when it's nice and bright outside, and have all the lights off in the room you're working in, and just look and see if you can see daylight. There's a really good chance then that you can spot air leakage right there and get some minimal expanding foam. Foam those spots up where you can see daylight or feeling the air moving in.
Now, is this a temporary solution?
No, it can be a long-term solution. Uh-huh. You've got to stop. You want to stop that air from infiltrating. You know, the thing is, when the wind's blowing and you can feel a draft, okay, that's coming from outside. But remember, if the wind's not blowing, or your house might have, you know, a pressure difference where it's pushing the air out, or if the wind's blowing, you know, from one side of the house, it's going to suck it out the other side. So if it sucks it out, it's taking all your heat out with it. So that's sometimes a pretty good area, significant loss, energy loss.
Now, I barely have the ability to change a light bulb. I have to ask for help usually.
Well,
but I mean, can I do this?
Yeah, because okay. I think even there's a set of directions on that can.
Okay.
There's 18 different languages on there.
Really?
So you should be able to find the one that you can comprehend.
Okay.
And, you know, there are some really good, like, do-it-yourself network, on the Internet. You can even, just Google air losses, stopping air sealing your home, and on YouTube. I was surprised how much stuff was on YouTube. I was looking the other day of actually how to use a caulk gun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you assume, you know, if you've done it a lot, you assume that everybody would know how to use a caulking gun. But just a simple caulking gun can be, you know, a lot of people don't realize that on most caulking guns, there is a small steel rod that you poke down the tip of the caulk to, so that you don't have to use a nail or a pencil or something like that, you know, to poke the caulking, and then that rod folds back into the handle. You know, I've seen people look all over for something to poke it, and it's right there on the handle. Some caulking guns are designed that you stick the tip of the tube of caulk in near the handle, and the handle you pull it, and it acts like a shear and cuts the tip of the tube off, so everything is right there in a caulking gun. So even simple things like caulking can sometimes be intimidating for people.
Yeah. Bill McAnally is with us here on Talk of Iowa. I am Dennis Reese for Greg Shanley today, and here's your chance to talk to Bill. He knows practically everything about home improvement. You know, Bill, I've always said
you got my check.
Catherine Perkins always joked that she wished that you lived next door to her.
I would be so busy. She would keep me. You know, well, I tell you what, she can keep you busy at fixing stuff up or changing her mind. You know, oh, I'm not sure if I like that now, so let's go ahead and redo it. Yeah, she could.
I just wanted to say there's a house for sale next door to where I live, so if you're interested, you can move to Iowa City if you want to.
I'll get right on that.
All right. 866-780-9100 is the toll-free number to talk to Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College. 866-780-9100. Or email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org.
Dennis, there was another thing. I just, you know, before we talked about the show yesterday, I had a chance to sit in on the Iowa Power Fund meeting yesterday.
Oh, really?
That's really cool to see that process. You know, the Office of Energy Independence oversees this, and I was able to sit in and watch the whole process of people coming to the Iowa Power Fund, you know, asking for funding for, you know, projects, whether they be, you know, say window projects, you know, design of windows or metering energy use or, you know, new techniques and say, biodiesel. And, you know, you hear people talk about, you know, funding, you know, like the power fund. If everybody would have a chance to see actually how demanding it is to get funding for a project, I think you'd feel pretty good. It's they really focus on making sure that they're going to get, you know, it might be long term, but a return on investment, and mm-hmm. that the money stays in Iowa. I remember just specifically, and I'm sure they wouldn't mind me saying it, but you know, there was somebody that wanted to use some money for a project, and the question was, well, is the money going to stay in Iowa? Well, we might have to subcontract out. Is 99% of the money going to stay here in Iowa? If not, you know, hey, you know, too bad. This is Iowa money, and we want to keep it in Iowa.
Right.
So I was really impressed on how that process works.
That's good to hear.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. I think some people maybe sometimes hear the other side of it. You know, I know the funding's coming up, and you know, it is a really good use of taxpayer money.
Well, we have a bunch of people who want to talk to you. Let's start with Bill, who is calling from Sac City, and he has some questions about debate over insulation.
Oh, good.
And Bill, are you there? Whoops! I need to press a button. There we go. Bill, are you there?
Good, I'm here, and thank you for taking my call, Dennis and Bill. And by the way, I'm glad to hear that we have one of the great Karnaks of home improvement on the air here.
Oh, gee whiz.
Anyway, I sit. That's after Johnny Carson's. You know, he's
right.
Yeah, Ed McMahon, the great Karnak. But
yeah, I have
anyway.
That card up against my forehead right now.
Good. Well, with that in mind, I sit on a board, and a foam insulation company recently presented a proposal for our building for a blown-on foam insulation on the underside of the plywood that is part of the roof. And they claim that the cellulose insulation that is blown in an attic is not nearly as effective as the foam. And the reason being is that the air circulation over the cellulosic insulation reduces its effectiveness. The foam, I might add, is quite a bit more expensive. What's your impression of foam blown on the underside of the roof versus the blown-in insulation, which is quite a bit less?
Well, you know, I have friends that sell both, and they know where I stand. You know, I think we're going to start seeing a lot more homes and buildings with sprayed foam underneath the roof deck. The one reason I think we're going to see that is it gets rid of all the arguments about ventilating the attic, you know, shingles not lasting because they're blaming it on ventilation, you know, not putting proper air sealing or moisture vapor sealing techniques on a ceiling. And so then that, you know, cold, wet air may get into the attic and cause issues. It completely gets rid of that. Now, when you look at cost effectiveness, you know, if cellulose is put in correctly and you stop the air, you know, say at the ceiling, you stop the air and the moisture vapor from getting up into the attic space, then it performs very well. You know, we've seen it. We use it a lot. It also depends on the type of roof. I think there are more issues with a lower sloped roof having problems, let's say with ice dams. There's a lot more issues with lower sloped roofs than there are with larger roofs. But you really, it's a lot of times it has to come down to, you have to sit and figure what's the cost effectiveness, what's, you know, my payback on that extra amount of money. If cellulose is put in correctly, you know, like say 24 inches of cellulose over your ceiling, if that's put in correctly and you do stop the air from going through it, it's going to perform very well. But you have to stop air from coming up from below too, because a lot of people don't believe in, they just want to throw drywall up, you know, drywall board, sheetrock board, and then the moisture, they say, well, the vapor will go all the way through and go out the roof. Not necessarily, and a lot of times it stops in the cellulose, and then it gets wet, and then it doesn't perform. But it's one of these topics that you really have to pencil down and say, okay, what is my benefit for my cost?
Okay. So if there's not a good vapor barrier next to the sheetrock, which will be underlying the cellulose, if you don't have that good vapor barrier, you really need to take out your existing insulation, add that vapor barrier before you put on the cellulosic insulation. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, there's, you know, is this an existing building?
Yes, it is.
Oh, on an existing building, you know, it probably, by the time you figure doing all that, you're probably better off spraying the roof deck.
Okay.
And, you know, the other thing is we're doing a demonstration home down in Valley West Junction in West Des Moines, Iowa, and in that particular house, it has a steep pitch. In that particular house, we sprayed 2 inches of closed cell foam over the top of the drywall, which effectively became a vapor retarder, mm-hmm. and then sprayed cellulose over the top.
Okay, good.
So there's a lot of different, you know, different combinations.
Sounds
Bill,
thank you.
Thank you,
thanks.
Bill. I hope. Thank you very much for the call, Bill from Sac City. And, Bill, we need to take a break. And,
yeah, now there's a button there in front of you got to push.
I know.
Catherine didn't go over that part, did she?
No. I'm going to do it right next time.
Okay.
Hang in there. We'll be back in a minute. 866-780-9100 is the number to call for questions for Bill McAnally, or email us at talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Back in a minute. Time is 20 minutes past 10. Back to Talk of Iowa. I'm Dennis Reese today for Greg Shanley, talking to Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge, the amazing Karnak of home improvement, I think the gentleman said, Bill from Sac City. We have a lot of calls. We want to keep going with calls next. Another question about roof insulation here is Carolee from Des Moines. Carolee.
Yes.
Go ahead with your question.
Hi. We just received a quote about putting about 6 more inches of insulation in our attic.
Okay.
And we recently, through doing some home improvement, found out that we have no insulation in our walls. So is it worth it to pay the money to put insulation in the attic if we have no wall insulation?
Well, you'd want to do both. Yeah, it's worthwhile, but really none in your walls at all?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. We were not
chilly,
too happy to
it?
Find that. Yeah, it is chilly.
Well, you know, I would put it in the attic, and I would still try to get some put in the sidewalls. There are a lot of products that you can put in the sidewalls without, you know, disturbing, you know, what you have.
Right.
They have a lot of the foam installers, you know, the insulated foam installers have more of a flowable foam that they use in their walls. It's not a very high expanding
okay.
foam. And then there are the there's a spider, they call it a spider system spelled with a Y, where they blow a real high-density fiberglass into your walls as well, and they drill the small holes in your siding. Not those great big huge ones like we used to see in the past, but
but
the nice thing about the way they do it now, you know, is most of these companies will have an infrared camera with them, and they'll be able to look at that wall, and if there's something blocking maybe the product from filling the whole cavity, they can see where they've missed, and then they can, you know, find a way to fill that whole cavity in. So it's a big difference from the old days when they just throw in a couple holes and hope they got everything. But, you know, I think it's going to be a good investment to insulate those walls. But it also depends your long term. Are you going to, you know, remodel, you know, throw new siding and windows in and eventually?
No, well, maybe someone. We're looking to sell probably within about 2 years. We're looking to move.
Oh, okay. Well, it's going to be, you know, on your disclosure statement, it is going to say no insulation, so.
Okay.
Yep. You may want to ask a realtor, you know, find out, get a price on it and ask the realtor, but, you know, the people who move in are still going to be stuck with it.
Okay.
Thanks.
Great, thank you.
Thank you. Carol Lee calling from Des Moines. We have another caller from Des Moines. This is John. We'll be on in just a second with a question about thermal imaging cameras to find leaks, which is
sure.
an intriguing idea. John.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've seen some services offered a few places that bring in these thermal cameras. Is that really? It sounds like you just recommended that with the wall insulation. I'm kind of in the same boat. My house was built in the 1940s, and I've got kind of like a almost like a wood pulp board or something of that nature that's on the outside of the house. But there doesn't seem to be much between that and the plaster walls, and I kind of found that out when my wife asked me to pick up some of the plastic sheeting for the windows, and we've had newer windows that are the double pane, and the walls were actually quite a bit colder than the windows.
So, that's kind of scary, isn't it?
Yeah, but so I was wondering, that is really, you're going to want to find a company that has one of those cameras, and that's not something that, you know, just go and rent yourself if you're more of a do-it-yourselfer? Or?
No, you know, there's some building inspectors, you know, private building inspectors that have them as well. When, you know, they might just, if business is slow, they may come over. You can get an energy auditor company to come over. They're, you know, they're in Des Moines area. There's several energy auditors in that area that'll come by and do infrared scans and some of the utility companies still offer this service. I'm not sure which ones do, but the energy auditors in the Des Moines area, there's a couple, you know, really good ones down there, and boy, it's amazing, you know, what we learn, you know, just even between where the plates are sitting on top of each other in a wall, it's amazing how much energy loss is there. But I wish they were a lot less money. I was just talking with a friend this morning. He wants to buy one for his company, and the one I was looking at was $15,000.
Oh, wow.
And then you got to spend a week down in Tennessee learning how to run it. They're also very good at finding water leaks.
Okay. Is there a resource, a website, or anything of that nature that lists, you know, I don't know if there's any kind of, for energy auditing companies, if there's any kind of regulation around it or licensure or any of that kind of stuff?
Well, you know, I would what I would do is start looking, pull up just infrared cameras and maybe compact infrared cameras and FLIR, FLIR, they make a good camera.
Okay.
And so does Monroe Infrared.
Okay.
And try those sites, and then there's you know,
and maybe they have a list of the people that have bought them from them and have been trained
sure,
to use them.
Okay. Sure, if you check around, but luckily Des Moines does have, you know, some really good energy auditor guys.
Great, thank you very much for taking my call.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you, John, for the call. 866-780-9100. We're going to go next to Bill in East Dubuque, Illinois. Bill, you're on the air.
Hello,
you're on the air. Go ahead with your question.
Brian, we have a house that is about 17 years old now. The roof is going to be have to replace that in not too distant future, and I'd like to know what you think of metal. I know now I have regular asphalt, you know, type shingles.
Sure.
But I'm thinking about putting a metal roof on. Can you tell me something about its longevity? Is it too heavy to put on a standard building? And What are the pros and cons, in other words?
Well, you know, really the only con to it is some people don't like the look. I mean, seriously.
Appearance.
The last house that we built here at school, we put a metal roof on. We used Dekra steel roof. It looks just like shingles, and it's a lot lighter than asphalt. I shouldn't say all, but the vast majority of the steel roofs are a lot lighter than the asphalt. And it just depends on what you want it to look like, shingles or shakes, or whether you want to use, you know, the steel, like a standing seam, one that's flat for maybe 16 inches and then sticks up a couple inches and then it's flat, you know, more of a commercial look. But, you know, they're a lot more money, but I feel there's a lot less maintenance, you know, especially. I always get a kick out of, you know, why buy a 40-year shingle when it's going to get hailed out probably in 10 to 15 years anyway in Iowa. So, you know, the Dekra roof, boy, that thing just is amazing at how much beating on and how much damage it can take.
Two things then. How much more does it cost? Is it twice as much, three times much, 150%? Or
probably, you know, probably 2 to 3 times more.
2 to 3. Okay,
yeah,
how about its longevity?
It really depends on what style you get. You know, if you go to one that looks like an agricultural steel, it's going to be just about the same cost.
Yeah, I understand there'll be options.
Yeah.
But how about longevity?
Most of them are, you know, at least 50 years.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, most
and they're
the good,
warranted, are they usually?
Yeah, and the one that we used, it goes with the house.
What do you mean it goes with the house?
I mean, if you sell the house, the warranty stays with the...
Oh, warranty remains.
Right.
I see.
That can be a big deal.
you say to contact, like, the company called Dekra, Dekra?
It's D-E-C-R-A. That's the brand name, and most of the, you know, local lumber yards handle that or can get it.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. This has been very helpful. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Thank you for the call, Bill. Bill calling from East Dubuque. I'm not going to be here 50 years. I won't be around to know if the roof is going to last.
Yeah, you know, I could have just said 300, couldn't I? I won't be around either.
Okay, Bill, I have a really tough question. Do you answer toilet questions?
Yes, I do.
I am so relieved to, sorry about the pun.
I like that. Yeah, go ahead.
Here we go. Dan has emailed from Albion. We have a toilet that often does not clear. It makes lots of noise, a gurgling sound. Wish he was on the phone to make the sound for us. When it behaves this way, the noise is greatly diminished or non-existent when the bowl clears. Any idea what is happening? And in
probably,
60 seconds.
It's just probably an air issue that, you know, his vent might be closed. There may be something obstructing the vent, you know, because for a toilet to flush, it has to have air. So, you know, in this cold weather, sometimes that warm air goes up the pipe, and you know, we've seen some where they've froze shut, and so
really?
they don't operate correctly. They have to have a clean vent to operate.
All right. Well, interesting information. And Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College. Hang in there for about 6 minutes, okay?
Gotcha.
We'll be back, and Talk of Iowa continues after a break. We're taking your calls at 866-780-9100 on Home Improvement Day. Emails to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. And it's 10:36. I'm Dennis Reese filling in today for Greg Shanley. We're back with Talk of Iowa. It's Home Improvement Day on the program with Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College in Fort Dodge. And, Bill, we have a lot of calls, so I think it would be best just to get everyone on the air, or get as many on the air as we can. Our toll-free number is 866-780-9100. Let's go next to Jennifer, who is calling from Fayette. Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a question about our dryer vent.
Okay.
It vents out the north side of the house, and in the winter, the wind just rushes right in there, and we're not really sure what we could do to prevent that from happening.
There's a really good dryer vent cover that mounts on the outside of your house. Probably the one you have right now is just kind of like a little white boot, little metal.
Yes.
Yeah. There's one that's made, and I'm feverishly trying to see if I can find it, but I bet I won't be able to. If you Google energy efficient dryer vent, I believe you'll be able to come up with it. What it looks like is it's about a foot tall. It's kind of an opaque plastic, and when the air comes out of the dryer vent, it forces this little cap to rise, and so then the air goes out, and then as soon as the dryer shuts down, the cap comes down. We've been using them since the 80s, and I have one in my house, and that thing, all I have to do is every once in a while pull the lid off, clean any lint, you know, that's maybe gotten through the line. Mm-hmm. But you get absolutely no air coming back, and mine faces north as well.
Oh, that's good to know. Thank you very much.
You bet. And if you can't find it, call Iowa Central here and ask for me. I'll be able to dig it up.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Thanks.
Okay, thanks for the call, Jennifer. How often do you have to go out and check the dryer vent on the outside of the house just to get it cleared out?
You know, Dennis, I thought we were going to be friends. You know what I recommend and what I actually do? I'm lucky to get honest with you. I'm lucky to get out there. I'll be out there looking, maybe picking up sticks or something. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I better do that. You know, you should check it every, couple weeks or so.
Yeah.
Especially now, you know, because if you're not cleaning the lint out of that dryer and it, you know, you can usually tell because the dryer's not, you know, doing as well. But, you know, it seems like it takes longer to dry things. But, you know, that wet lint gets out there, and especially when it's this cold, boy, it attaches right to that, you know, that plastic, and it freezes. So
I got to get out there. It's, you know, it's hard to get out there, you know, go through mounds of snow and ice to get out there.
Well, that's what you got neighbors for, you know.
Yeah. Okay. All right, let's go to Dave in Cedar Rapids. Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi,
Bill. Hi, Dennis.
Go ahead with your question.
Sure. I've got a bathroom floor. It's tile, and it appears to be about 1 degree above freezing in the morning. I mean, it is really slick, and you can barely walk on it. The garage, it's partly over the garage.
Okay.
I have been up in the crawl space, and the crawl space, there's nothing. It's just it's a open air space, and then there's a wall which leads to the house. The air in that space is my garage is about 34, 35 generally.
Sure.
That crawl space is probably 20 degrees colder.
Okay.
Now, I'm trying to find out if it's worthwhile to take the sheetrock off of the garage ceiling and blow insulation underneath that bathroom floor.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Now, that you know, you do have a couple other options. You know, I would pull that drywall down. I mean, you're only talking like $10 worth of material. And you know, you can either spray some foam underneath there or cut and fit, say, like 2-inch or of extruded polystyrene, you know, the colored foam.
Yeah.
And screw it into the – you got to be careful on the length of the screws, but you screw it up into the floor and glue it as well, and then caulk around the edges of that foam where it meets the framing members.
I can't do that.
Okay.
I don't have access. I had taken the drywall down a month ago to do some work. So what I've got is a wall that separates the garage – from a hallway, which goes into the bathroom. When I took the sheetrock off the ceiling, I looked underneath, and I realized that there was nothing underneath that floor. So I've got flexible heating vents.
Okay.
I've got water pipes,
sure,
et cetera. So it's not a space that I can get into. So I would have to blow something in there.
Yeah, you will.
And is the foam a hardening foam, or is it?
Yeah. Well, you know, you know, if you can't, you get boards in there. You can. How far back do you have to go? 10 feet.
That's a good question. 10 feet. Sure.
Okay. Because the bad thing is, see, you know, if you blow cellulose or fiberglass back in there, and you ever get any kind of leak at all, it's never going to dry.
Oh,
you know, that's
okay,
that's always been a problem. I can tell you, yeah, just blow it in. But boy, I know how these things work over a long time. You know, I would get a person that get a hold of it. This is kind of a situation where you should get somebody that has the equipment. They can get a wand that reaches all the way back there and spray foam underneath that whole floor.
Okay. So foam would be better than cellulose.
Yeah. Because I could just see one. All it takes is just one event, and then that insulation's wet and it's not doing any good.
And I've had the event.
There you go. Yeah, I think pretty much everybody.
Sheetrock came off the ceiling.
You admit it. You admit to it. Yeah, we all do, but a lot of us won't admit it.
Okay.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Bill.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks, Dennis.
Thank you, Dave, for the call, 866-780-9100. Jeremy has sent us an email from Des Moines. He says, I want to redo my hardwood floors. I can handle the dust, but maybe not the fumes. Are there any stains that are safe for winter use? I don't really want to deal with the fumes as I have a wife and four-year-old son at home. Maybe I should wait for spring when I can open the doors and windows.
Well, there, go to, you know, the good, you know, paint stores or whatever. You know, they have water-based and zero VOC finishes even for the floors. You know, some people will say it doesn't hold up as well, but the newer products, I believe they do. You can go with that kind of a product. Now, don't be tricked into buying low odor, because all low odor is it's a high VOC of volatile organic compound, the chemicals that, you know, will give you headaches, and then they just throw something in to mask, you know, basically trick your brain into thinking that, you know, it can't smell anything. So what you want to do is low VOC or zero VOC finish for that floor, because, oh yeah, I had a friend that redid his floors, and oh, he said, you know, he missed work for a couple days, and his wife and his child had headaches because they did the exact same thing and used, you know, it was during the winter, and they used basically a polyurethane that really off-gassed horrible. But they do have finishes that are low or zero VOC, and you're not going to have the issues.
Of the same
problem. You still want to ventilate a little bit, though. I mean, you still want to maybe crack the window a little bit, too.
Have the same problem frying
fish.
Yeah,
really check with, check with your finishes person. Like, you know, like I just use a Sherwin Williams guy here in town, you know, and when I just tell him what I need, and he gives it to me, and I'm fine.
Let's go to another email. Annie in Iowa City writing, I recently started what was supposed to be a simple tiling project around my bathtub, but after finding problem after problem in my 1955 house, I've ended up with a gutted bathroom. I put in new insulation and a 4-millimeter plastic sheet over the insulation, then Duroc. I thought that was a pig. No, it's not.
No, that's a cement board.
Okay.
They're spelled a little bit different, too.
Okay. I've read about RedGuard membrane, but I can't find it locally. Do I need a product like RedGuard? And B, are there similar products that I might find locally?
You know, she's to the stage where, you know, she may want to get a professional in there to really take a look at it. I wish I could see what was there, but I think I would get a contractor in there, a carpenter in there right now to take a look at it and make sure that how all these little pieces, if they're all going together correctly, so long term we don't have moisture issues, especially in a bathroom. Because it's pretty easy if the ventilation system isn't working right, if you have one little opening for that moisture to get into a wall cavity, you're going to have nightmares.
All right,
I hate to say it, but that, you know, okay. I read that that's what happens to a lot of people, like 90% or so that start do-it-yourself end up having to get some help.
Right. Bill McAnally is on our Talk of Iowa program today. It's Home Improvement Day. Taking your calls, 866-780-9100. Tom is next from Mason City. Hi, Tom. Are you there, Tom?
Yes, I am.
All right.
I have a question. I have a house that is made out of the clay. I live in Mason City. It's made out of clay load-bearing brick.
Okay.
Stucco on the outside of that. Shimboard, lath, and plaster on the inside.
Okay.
And you see the problem I've got. I've got no insulationing in the walls. Now, I have taken some of the rooms and torn all the lath and plaster off, reframed. I hate it.
Yeah.
it came out okay, but I'm thinking that I could get just as good of insulation value out of 2-inch high-dense foam board.
Yep.
I could, and then I wouldn't even remove trim at
right.
this point. I was going to shim the trim even with the plaster. Just put up shim boards, and then what I wanted to do was use liquid nails, and then at that point, everything would just be sandwiched together with the drywall screws.
Right.
At that point, but do I need to add a vapor barrier?
If you use, if you put 2 inches of, you know, extruded polystyrene, basically, you know, the 25 pound, so it'll say. Mm-hmm. you know, 250 on it, but it'll, somewhere on the sheet it'll reference that it's 25-pound density. If you put that 2 inches, it's basically a closed cell that you really don't need a vapor barrier on the inside of that. We did the exact same thing on a house a long time ago. It was an old brick house, didn't even have indoor plumbing. We put, I think, 1 inch foam that time, but in retrospect, we should have put 2 inches of foam. But we took the trim off because it was all walnut. So put the foam on and then put new drywall and then put the trim back on again. And the nice thing is, since the room was a little smaller, you were able to cut, still use all the trim. It wasn't like you made the room bigger and the trim wasn't long enough, so we were able to use all the trim again.
See, I don't want to use the trim again anyway.
Sure.
I want to save myself the tear out.
Yep.
And I'm looking at this as being a stable backing for me to nail into when I put the trim back up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you can also glue it as well.
Yeah, so that's, the trim is all beaten up. The house was built in 1921. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm just going to put new trim in and...
Well, you'll have a nice, that'll make a nice wall.
Yeah, I think that is my best idea. After tearing out the other one and the dust and the mess, and the results were okay but not fantastic, I think I can get just as good, maybe better results without all the mess.
Yeah, and just so, you know, just the big deal is just attention detail on the joints, and you know that already. So just make sure you either foam or caulk all the joints so that you don't get any cool air coming in from the outside at the joints of the foam.
Okay, so what would you recommend to caulk in between the foam joints?
I like minimal expanding foam.
Oh, okay, so I could just use that to kind of fill that in and maybe kind of work it in with my finger a little bit while it's still wet?
Oh, yeah, you could. Yeah, you bet. Or just do two applications, sure.
Okay, and then knock it down so that it's even if I need to.
You bet, yep.
Okay, well, good. That answers
right.
My question.
Yeah,
thank you.
Okay, Tom, thanks
okay.
a lot. We're going to go next to Mary in Dyersville. And Mary, welcome to the program.
Well, good morning. Welcome and glad to have me on your program.
Well, yeah.
I have a problem. I have had replaced windows, a double pane, put in my house a couple years ago, and they started to leak and fog up. And so the company replaced them twice. And I'm wondering, is this a common thing, or is it just a company that
did? But are they still doing the same thing?
Yeah. Now the third ones are starting again. They just don't seem to be sealed.
Is it between the panes?
Yeah, between the panes, and they'll kind of fog up at different times. It's sometimes like I don't know what the atmosphere outside is or in, but then I can notice it quite a bit, and then sometimes I really can't. So,
well, you know, if they're replacing them, they know they have a problem because usually if there's moisture, it's on the inside of the inside pane, and it's just because it's too moist or it's too cold outside. A window can only do so much, but if it's between the panes, yeah, they have sounds like a manufacturing issue, especially if they're replacing them. They're not charging you anything, are they?
No, but I'm wondering is this a common problem with this type of windows, and are they still selling them?
Yeah, not usually. It isn't a problem. I've never had that problem. So, boy, we're going to work on your third one. So, well, you know what? If one thing about it, if they keep replacing them pretty fast, you don't have to clean them. I mean, they're going to.
It is a headache, though, you know?
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay, well, thank you much.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, thanks a lot. We have another email in now from Fred. He says, I've gotten two quotes for siding, replacement windows, and blown-in insulation. We have a large house. We've been told the quotes are both way too high. I've gone to a website that does a very rough estimate based on square footage, only that estimate says that is about one half of the quotes he's been receiving. What is the best way to ensure we get what we need without overpaying for it?
I'd really start checking references.
Okay.
That's, if they don't want to tell you who they've worked for, there's an issue. I'd find out that they're licensed and bonded and they've been in business for a while. Good references. Find out what product that they use and do some research on their particular product. because there's a lot of people getting into, you know, into the business now, and you know, it's sad to say that some aren't too reputable. I'm not saying these two are or not, or I don't even know who they are, but there are some people out there that aren't looking out for your best interest. Nothing wrong with getting a couple more bids. You know, there's a lot of companies around, but I would really look for references.
Okay.
And reputable references, not family members of the people that gave you the quote.
Good idea.
Or stockholders, yeah.
Right. Larry is next, calling from Marion. Hi, Larry.
Hi, I have two questions. One has to do with how to operate a caulking gun. I used to, you know, draw the gun towards me.
Yeah.
And then on watching this old house or something, I noticed when they were caulking, they were pushing.
Right.
And I've gone to that, and it works much better for me. And when I was doing a caulking job, a guy said, why are you going that way?
You know, you're right. That's supposed to be the way to do it, but I'm so old and in my ways, I've tried it, and I just can't get the hang of it. I'm just a trained chimp, and I just can't seem to do it. I know that's the way you're supposed to do it, and I think if you start off fresh.
It really works a lot nicer. You can see better what you're doing.
You get a lot better finish.
Then just wet my finger and seal it, and it works really nice.
Yeah, the students can do it.
The other question I have, I live in a condo, but it's three buildings in a unit, and I'm one of the outside ones. Yesterday morning, I opened my double garage door, and I've got all this moisture at the ceiling dropping down inside the garage.
Yep.
Why?
Because you probably bring a vehicle, and it's got a lot of snow on it. Is it a little bit warm in that room, in the garage?
It's not heated, but the ceiling is insulated, and two walls would be insulated.
Yeah, so if it's warm enough to, you know, to melt a little bit, and a lot of times it doesn't even have to be that, because the car's warm, you know, the engine and that, you bring it in, and then it starts to melt a little bit, and all that moisture can't get out of the garage, so it condenses someplace. And so that warmer air will go to the ceiling, and if that's, you know, the insulation is doing two things, it's keeping the ceiling cool, you know, and the room up above warmer, hopefully, but it'll condense and it'll drop down. And so what a lot of people are doing now is they're putting a wall mount exhaust fan in the garage that you can either put it on a switch or a timer, or you can even tie it to your garage door opener. The nice thing about that as well is that if you let it run for, say, 20 minutes or so after you back your car out, and if there's any carbon monoxide residue from when you started the car and backed it out, it exhausts that carbon monoxide along with the moisture.
Would it also have to do with the fact that we were so cold and then all of a sudden warmed up?
Oh, yeah. You know, that's what we like at the beginning of the show. You know, that's when it's really cold, you can really see the things that are happening. You may not see them, but they're still happening. But when it's really cold, oh, you bet. You know, this is that's the time of year when your garage doors are freezing down and the inside of the garage door is all covered with frost. Or like you say, the ceiling is all covered.
So if I just leave the garage door open a little ways at the bottom to let it kind of equalize.
Well, sometimes, you know, usually the cold air drops, so the warm, moist air still goes up.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Thanks, Larry from Marion. We go next to Mark in Des Moines. Hi, Mark. You're on Talk of Iowa Home Improvement Day.
How you doing? I seem to have a problem with my ceilings. I get dark lines on them. I have to paint them. I was wondering what it was, a lack of insulation or a lack of airflow in the insulation in the ceiling causing these dark lines. They seem to be running parallel with the floor ceiling joists.
Sure. Yeah, it's called ghosting. And we really see it. You see it a lot worse than when it's cold. You probably see it on the top of the wall, on the outside walls too, don't you?
Right, a little bit.
Yeah, because I've been in houses where you can see every individual nail or screw on the outside wall. It's a lack of insulation because that wood framing member, the bottom surface, is cool enough that, you know, every house has a little bit of, you know, like residue or dust or dirt. And so it's getting cool enough, there's a little bit of condensation, you know, where those dark lines are. And so that the particles that are in the air, then they hit that, and then, it, you know, it's just basically a little bit of dirt in the air, and it's stuck to that condensation.
So it's not airflow, it's actually lack of insulation.
It's lack of insulation, plus, you know, you can get rid of the visual part by having better air filters, you know, on the furnace.
But I'm airflow like this. They have these corrugated boards that you put down before you put the insulation down to airflow. on the ceilings and roofs.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I thought maybe that had something to do with it. I didn't know.
Yeah. I don't. You may want to see how much insulation you have in the attic.
Evidently not enough.
Yeah. You're right. There you go.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Yep. Thank you. Hey, Bill, remember that toilet question
from
Bill and Dan in Albion? Here's an update.
Good.
Ready? I cleared my vent with the garden hose this fall, pushed it down all the way to the basement and used full volume of water, but that didn't help. Any other ideas?
I'd call a plumber on it then because, you know, it may be just freezing up now. Because
okay.
Normally on those vent stacks, they're a certain diameter through the house, and then you widen it. Let's say if it's a 3-inch through the house, they'll widen it to a 4 or a 6 where it comes out the roof because you get so much condensation inside the pipe, it may be freezing in this cold weather. Because it's warm, moist air going up through the stack.
Okay, we're just about out of time.
Okay, I'd have him take plumber look at it then.
We're not going to have time for any more calls. Just a very quick question about a blog is recommending that you don't pump costly warm air into vacant rooms. Simply close off any ducts in unused rooms to ensure that you won't blow a gasket when you open your heating bill. Now, I've heard that that's not wise, that it causes...
Not wise at all.
Really? So that is not...
Want to keep the temperature even throughout the house.
Okay.
If it's that bad in your house, you need to have something done to it.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Bill.
Hey, thanks, Dennis. That was fun. Good job.
Well, you're the star here of the show.
Boy, you are good.
All right, Bill. We'll talk to you soon. Bill McAnally from Iowa Central Community College and Fort Dodge, Director of Industrial Technology. Talk of Iowa today, our student assistant, graduate assistant, David Henderson. I'm Dennis Reese, filling in for Greg Shanley. Thanks for all the calls and emails. Talk of Iowa, back tomorrow with Wildlife Day with Jim Pease, tomorrow at 10. We'll be right back.